little bit on the union of the Asogah potatoes. You know, we'll start with Asogah potatoes, then we'll get to the parsha. The Asogah potatoes, we know, has a very unique element to the tzayim that no other fast day has, that Asogah potatoes. And that is that Asogah potatoes is the only fast day we have that's not the Raisa. Only Yom Kippur is the Raisa. It's not the Raisa, and yet it's Doicha Shabbos according to some Rishon. No other fast day has anything like it. There's no mate. So even after we get the answer, the halachic answer, the question is still very big, which is why. Halachically, there's a mechanical question, how it works for halacha. And then the question is, even after we understand how it works for halacha, why did they do that for? Okay? So the mechanics of how it works is more or less muskim in the different pshatim. There's many different, Mechas Chinuch talks about it, Reb Chaim, Briskerov, Reb Zavin, Zochen Tzadikim Uvrocha. Everybody has their own spin. But it's all the same approach of why Asogah Betavis is Deicha Shabbos. Either Asogah Betavis is Deicha Shabbos because it's Aschalta de Pronusa. It's the beginning of the Puranas. The beginning of the Churban is more severe than what happened later. Everything that happened later was the conclusion. The beginning is more Chum. We see from Tisha B'Av itself. Tisha B'Av itself commemorates the beginning of the Chum. The Gemara says, Ruba Shalaychal Nisav Basiri. Most of the Beis HaMikdash burned on the 10th day of Av. And yet the Ikir Tzayim is on Tisha B'Av. We have certain things we don't do on Asarah B'Av till Chatzais because of the Avelu Shal Yayim. But the Ikir, the fast day, is Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara explains why, because Aschalta de Purnus, the beginning of the Purnus. So we see the concept. So in that same vein, Asar Batavis, which reflects the beginning phase of the Chum, has that Chum. And this Pshat is brought down in Chassam Seifa, and brought down in Bnei Yisocho. That's how they understood the Chum of Asar Batavis. The other Pshat, which is the pshat that the Mechas Chinuch and the Pchayim, Briskerov go, which is a different approach, and that is that really, every tzoyim potentially should be Deicha Shabbos. Every fast day. Shivasa B'Tamuz, some Gedalia. Every fast day should be Deicha Shabbos. It's just that the other fast days are not Deicha Shabbos because they're not on the day. The Nevi'im, when they established the fast day, they established it on the month. If you look at the Novi, it's always brought down as a month. It's a Mervi, it's a Mechamishi. It's never described as a calendar day. It's a calendar month. So therefore, since the Divrei Kabbalah doesn't require the fast day on a particular day, we push it off. By Asogah Betavis, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Asar Batavis, the Novi talks about, identifies it as a day. Not just as a month, as a day. And therefore, it's Deicha Shabbos. And the Or Sameach enhances this answer by saying that the whole issue to fast on Shabbos is not the Reis. Korosel Shabbos, it's a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. And therefore, a fast, which is also divrei Kabbalah, could be Deicha. It's not a big Kiddush. You could fast on Shabbos. It's only because it's not a din divrei kabbalah on the day. That's why it's not there. So there's another approach. So these are the two approaches, the two main approaches of how to answer why Asogah Betavis is different. The question is still tremendous, and that is that not reflected in any other way. Asar B'Tevis is not Asar B'Tashma Shamita. It's not Asar B'Nilas HaSandal. It's not Asar B'Siche. It doesn't have all the other stringencies. So if in fact there's some reason why Asar B'Tevis is Mochama, why isn't it reflected in general? But yet Asar B'Tevis still has the weaknesses. There are some Rishonim who hold that Tisha B'Av, a Chayla is Chayiv to fast on Tisha B'Av, just like Yom Kippur, based on the Yerushalmi. Only a Chayla Sheish B'Sakon is Potter. Whereas the other fast days also, Chayla is Potter from a fast. Right? The other fast days, somebody is sick, Chayla Yaguf, even if it's not a Sakon, they don't fast. Yom Kippur, obviously, a Chayla fast, if he's not a Sakon. And Tisha B'Av, there are many who hold that way as well. It's Machlekes. The Lashon of the Yerushalmi equates Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But again, not Asar B'Tevis. So this really puts us in a corner. Because on the one hand, we're saying, well, Asar B'Tevis is Chomer, and it's Deicha Shabbos. On the other hand, we're saying it's really Shvach. It's Shvach. Because doesn't have the other Chumers of Tisha B'Av. So what is unique about Asar B'Tevis? Why does it have its own halachas? So now we go to the parasha. Find several interesting things in the parasha. Yankiv Avinu is already living in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Vayichi Yankiv, Beretz Mitzrayim, the pasuk starts Shvayas Rishon. He's already living in Mitzrayim for 17 years. During these 17 years, he spent a lot of time, Yosef's children, Menashe and Ephraim. And Pasuk says, Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael Lomos. Yankiv Avinu came close, nearing his death. Vayikro Levnoi LeYosef. So he calls Yosef in, and he tells him, Imno Motzosi Chem Beinecho Simiot Chotachas Yirech. He asked him to make a shvuah that he should bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Why do you ask Yosef? Poshe Pshat, like the Rishonim explained, based on Chazal, Yosef was the one who had the capability to do it. The other brothers didn't have the capability. Yosef, as a Mishal Melech, he was able to see it through. I mean, child would have to be a Rosh Gomo not to do his father's wishes. Father calls him in. He asks him, I'm asking you one favor. Bury me in Eretz Yisrael. You have the ability to do it. Please do it for me. Yosef's response is predictable. I mean, what would we said if we read this parasha? Vayomer Yosef loy. There'd be 10,000 pirushim to try to explain. Yosef said no. It's a predictable answer. It's 1,000% predictable what Yosef said. Vayoymer, Anochi Asik Edvorach. I'll do it. Yankiv Avinu is not happy just with the word. He asks him to swear. Vayoymer Yishavali, Vayishavali. He swears. Yankiv Avinu is elated. He's in Gan Eden. Vayishtachu Yisrael Oishamit. He bows down to the bed. Rashi says, "Shehoisa mitosu shleim." Now Yaakov Avinu was able to attest that his mita was shleim, that his children were all went in his ways. And then he says, Rashi elaborates, "Shara Yosef Melech." Yosef was a king here in Mitzrayim, an Egyptian king. Void nishba ben agoyim, and he's between the goyim. He's like a tinik shenishba kemat. He wasn't a tinek, but he's a nar shenishba. Varei oimid betzitko. He's mamish a tzadik. He's staying, keeps his tzitkas. So the obvious question is mind-boggling. What did this interaction show Yankiv Avinu that he didn't already know? He spent 17 years in Mitzrayim with Yosef. They learned together. They learned with the Enoch Lach. Now he calls Yosef and he asks him for a little simple thing. even if it's not simple. It's the father's dying wish. Please bury me. That you have the bill. Please do it. Yosef agrees. Oh, vayishtachu yisrael roshamita. Now I'm happy. Now I know my bet is complete. That Yosef, who's a king in Mitzrayim, what does this show? I would venture to say that even Chas v'Shalom, a person would have a son who went off the derech, became a Machal Shabbos. Doesn't keep any mitzvahs. You call him and say, please bury me in Eretz Yisrael. He'll bury him in Israel. It's Papa's last wish.
But maybe he's
I understand. That's why he swore. That Chazal explained. But the point is, where did Yaakov Avinu see in Yosef agreeing to do his last dying wish that now Mitos Yishlam, he saw more in this than 17 years of observing Yosef HaTzadik? Didn't he see in the 17 years that he was a king in Mitzrayim? Rashi says a simple thing. He says he was a king in Mitzrayim. The worst place. He was like a tinik shenishba. And look, he stayed at tzaddik. He didn't have to wait for this basic request to be accepted to him to come to that conclusion. For some reason, this basic request that he asked for, that made him elated. So, well, what lies in this request? Rashi, the beginning of the parasha, says, what's the reason why this parasha is stuma? Loma parasha is stuma. Reflect Rashi. Loma parasha is stuma. Why is this parasha stuma? It's closed between Vayigash and Vayichi. And Rashi says, Lufi shenifti Yankev Avinu. Yankev Avinu died. And since he died, nistamu einayim v'libam shel Yisrael mitzoras Hashem. So the Jews became darkened, their eyes became darkened from the Shibut. Shizchilu l'sham. So everybody asks, on Rashi, on Chazal, so this parasha shouldn't be stuma. Next parasha, Shmois and Vayichi, should be stuma. Hey, Yaakov is still alive. Yaakov Avinu is still alive. So simply you read Rashi is that the fact that the parasha says together reflects the stima seinayim, like the eyes got closed. There's no opening. So that's not this parasha. This parasha, Yaakov Avinu is still alive. Next parasha, Yaakov Avinu dies. In that parasha, it should be in this time between the end of Vayichi and Shmois. That makes sense. Furthermore, if you look and say for Shmois, the Shibut first started after all the Shvatim died. Not here. And not even when Yaakov Avinu died. Vayomas Yosef, Ve'echo, V'chol Adarahu, and then Vayokom Elachodesh Al Mitzrayim. So the Shibut didn't start at all. The Shibut didn't start in this Sefer at all. So what's the union of Nistam? Loma Parashas Ustum. This is not my kasha, Alta kasha. Just want to share with you a different Mahalach. So here's what I think the thought could be, the pshat could be made. One of my most favorite chidushim from the Alta Baba Rebbe, the Rebbe Reb Shlomo, he had a beautiful vort, which Reb Yankov Zatzal used to always say the same idea. Reb Yankov Kamenetsky. The Baba Rebbe said it on a Gemara Bava Basra. Reb Yankov said it on a different chazal. The Gemara, famous Gemara Bava Basra in Perak HaMoiches HaSfina, the Gemara brings down the story where they were on a boat, they were in the middle of the ocean, and all of them they saw a beautiful island. So they put the boat right next to the island. They went onto the island to enjoy a little bit. They went into the island. It was very nice. It was beautiful. There was even stuff growing there. It was mamish beautiful. They decided to make a barbecue. First to Tahid, a barbecue. They made a barbecue. So they made a barbecue. Meanwhile, turned out that there was no island. It was a huge, massive fish. And as they were, roasting up a steak, the fish started getting a little warm. And then the fish got a little warmer. And then the fish decided that it's enough. So it just turned around. And the barbecue was over, canceled. Right? Rained in. The barbecue was rained in. And the Gemara says that the Amiraim quickly swam to their boat, and everything was okay. They realized what happened. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says, Baruch Hashem, we had the boat next to the fish, because otherwise we would have been finished. Baruch Hashem, the boat was anchored right there. We were okay. That's the Gemara. What's the lesson of the Gemara? So, of course, everybody has their own pirush. This Gemara. The Maral, the Shah, the Baba Rebbe says a beautiful word. The Rebbe Shlomo. It's funny, he was, Rabbi Yankov also used to apply it to the Holocaust. The Baba Rebbe was a Holocaust survivor. I mean, the Spitz Holocaust survivor. The Baba Rebbe said that this is really all a remez for a Jew in Golos. It's a Jew in Golos. In Golos, we're in a turbulent ocean. And what do we have? We have the Torah mitzvahs. That's our boat. That's the Sfina. That's our boat. Right? A Jew has to know in Golos, don't get too comfortable. No matter how welcoming the country seems to you, no matter this island that you're on temporarily, you have to know that your life raft is a Torah. And don't get too comfortable. And it's a question when they decide to turn around and then you're in the water. But beautiful pshat. He says, that's what Amigoyim were telling us. Make sure you have your eye on the boat. Don't get comfortable in Golos. Rabbi Yankov touched up that many of the tzoras that we went through in Golos was when we forgot we were in Golos. When we forget in Golos, then the tzoras remind us that we're in Golos. Chavetz Chaim said that before the Holocaust. He said, the Yidden weren't super kvimt. The Jews are becoming too comfortable. And the truth is, the scary thing, you don't have to be a historian to realize that there were so many warnings. Now, in hindsight is 2020. You look back, there were so many warning signs. Like, why didn't they pick themselves up and run away? They were so comfortable. They were so comfortable. We had a neighbor, Mamish. She was Malka Wojciechowski. She was Mamish. You're talking about also a Spitz Holocaust survivor. She was in the lager. She was in all the concentration camps. It's a terrific lady. A real spirit, a real chiyus. So she said that they used to live together. The neighbors, the Polish, the same thing Rabbi Hafner said about his family. She said the same thing about the Polish. She was in Poland, the same thing. They used to have neighbors where they lived together with goyim for years, not years, generations. That means they were neighbors. Their parents were neighbors. Their grandparents were neighbors. It was one family. And then when the Holocaust broke out, the neighbor would come in and say, you have an hour to vacate. We're taking over your house. You have an hour to vacate. Malka also said the Polish threw them out of the house. The close chaverim, the best friends, threw them out. Because really we're in Golos. So whether the parents didn't realize it, the grandparents didn't realize it, but they were, there's a fish here that just decides to turn around. And then there's, so Biankov always used to say, when a Yid forgets he's in Golos, then there's a reminder that you're in Golos. But it's even deeper than that. Because in a sense, if you really know you're in Golos, you're less in Golos. Not only do you have less tzaras, but you're closer to the Rabbanu Shlomo. If you realize you're in Golos, that was really the lesson of the Anshei Knesset HaGdela. Why were Anshei Knesset HaGdela called Anshei Knesset HaGdela? So the Gemara says in Yuma, because when we went into Golos after the Churban, nobody saw the greatness of Hashem. Right? Nobody saw the greatness. So the Nevi'im didn't see it, and this, no, nobody saw it. The Anshei Knesset HaGdela said, what do you mean? The survival of Klal Yisrael in the Golos? One sheep with 70 wolves, and we survive. You see the greatest Hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hichziru HaTorah LeYoshna. They made us see the Shechina in a way even more in the Golos than when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. It's a bigger miracle. Our survival in the Golos is a bigger miracle than it is when they were not in Golos. And that's why they were called the Anshei Knesset HaGdela, because they succeeded to bring that out. So in a sense, the Golos is only as much of a Golos as much as you don't realize you're in Golos. If you realize you have the Hashgacha Pratis, the Shechina, you're less in Golos. You're more close to the Shechina. Yankov Avinu, in fact, made the Jews feel that they're out of their territory. Until so long that he was alive, we still were in Eretz Yisrael. So long that Yaakov Avinu was alive, you know why we were in Eretz Yisrael? Because we realized Mitzrayim is not our place. We realized Mitzrayim is not where we belong. So long that we realized that Mitzrayim is not where we belong, so we were really, in a sense, in Eretz Yisrael. We never really left. The Zohar HaKadosh says it beferish that Yaakov Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. Amen. Left physically. But his soul, he was always Eretz Yisrael. Memela Parshas Vayechi is put together with Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Vayigash is when we're still in Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Vayechi is connected to Parshas Vayigash to show you we didn't leave Eretz Yisrael yet. We never left. We never left Eretz Yisrael. Kol Zman that we felt that chibur, we never left. We never left, and there was no need to give us a shibud. The Mitzrayim didn't have to be meshabed us. We knew we weren't home. We didn't need the shibud Mitzrayim. The nistamu parshas of stuma doesn't mean that it was a negative. The nistamu enayim pashi learned stima stima. No, parshas of stuma is because until Yaakov Avinu died, we were still in Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi has a whole shaila. If you're allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, if you didn't die in Eretz Yisrael. My father had a close friend in Eretz Yisrael, Mr. Gold. So I remember that he once said, what's the reason why he went to Eretz Yisrael? He retired, he went to Eretz Yisrael. In those days when we lived in Eretz Yisrael, 1973, it wasn't very common. Aliyah wasn't. That's when my family was in Eretz Yisrael. So when my parents went, very few people went. It wasn't in vogue to go to Eretz Yisrael then. Then the Yom Kippur war broke out right after we got there. Zichah wasn't in vogue to be there, but broke out literally right after we came. So this Mr. Gold, he made Aliyah. And he said, what was Moir him? One of his friends passed away. And they sent the Oren to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael in a box. I'm going alive. Ich will gehen lebedik to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael in a box. It's a big Azuris. But really what he said is Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi is a Shaila, if you're allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi says, Vatavoyu vatetamu es admosi. It's a scary Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, you came and you literally were metame Eretz Yisrael. Those are people that have died in Chutz Laretz and get buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's like they come to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. Right? So everybody asks, what do you mean? How could anybody, we obviously hold not that way. How could Yerushalmi bring such an opinion? Yaakov Avinu died in Chutz Laretz and was buried in Eretz Yisrael. That was his one request. Why didn't Yerushalmi bring a raya from Yaakov Avinu? That of course you could die, if you die in Chutz Laretz, you could be buried in Eretz. The Teretz is based on the Zohar and the Shlach HaKadosh. Yaakov Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. Because his soul was always there, he never left. So for him, it was no shaila. He was able to be buried. He was able to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He was always connected to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef HaTzadik turns to his father. The request, of course, was going to be granted. That's not a shaila. The dying man, the dying father tells his son, please bury me in Eretz Yisrael. You say, sorry, Dad, can't bother. Well, of course not. Yosef didn't just say that. Vayomer Yosef, Onoichi Ese Kidvorecha, says the Medrash, I'm going to do what you're doing. I'm going to tell the Shvatim to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. How does Yosef end the parasha? Vayashba Yosef is Bnei Yisrael. Pokoy Yivkoy Hashem Eschem. Take my bones with me. So Yosef made his brothers swear that they're going to take him to Eretz Yisrael. Right? By doing that, Yosef told Yaakov Avinu that just like you never left Eretz Yisrael, I never left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov said, wow. Choysa mitos v'shleim. Melech. Tinek shenishba. Mamish. You're encrusted in Mitzrayim. You're a king of Egypt. And you're telling me you never left Eretz Yisrael. Choysa mitos v'shleim. That's why Yankov Avinu had a new appreciation for Yosef that he didn't have before. Because this showed him a whole new dimension of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's the connection that in Golos, a person could have with the Shekhinah. That's Kilu the not in Golos. Kilu the not in Golos. The Beis HaMikdash has two components. It has a structure. Structure. That's one part. And it has the Shekhinah. The Kedusha Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, not the structure. Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Melachim says, Bonoi Bonisi, I built a built building when he finished building the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash says, what do you mean I built a built building? Shlomo HaMelech says, I found the building built already. So what does that mean? Because really the Avos HaKedoshim already gave Kedusha. Avram gave Kedusha to Arbayis when he did Akedas Yitzchak. What was Shlomo saying? Shlomo was saying, don't pay so much attention to the structure. The Shekhinah is the Iker. Now, I'll tell you more than that. The structure, the building of the structure is not Teichah Shabbos. Mitzvah Hashem Mashiach will come. According to the Rambam, some say the building will come down in its complete form. Even according to that, the Vilna Gaon says we'll still do some renovation. The Samchenu B'Sikunai, we'll put on the doors, we'll do something we're going to do to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. But the Rambam says that we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash from scratch. According to the Rambam, we're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to be Derech HaShabbos. You're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the work stops. Can't build a Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. But, Korbanos are brought on Shabbos. Korban Tomid, Korban Musaf. Why? Because that's Avodah, that's the Shekhinah itself. The connection we have to the Shekhinah itself is Derech HaShabbos. The structure is not Derech HaShabbos. The connection we have to the Shekhinah, that's Yed Derech HaShabbos. That's the Korbanos. So now it's simple. Asar B'Tevis, the Ma'ashon Rosh Hashanah brings down, commemorates when the Shekhinah was Golso Me'amikdash. The Shekhinah left the Beis HaMikdash. Yoshvo Ba'Midbar. The Shekhinah went into the Midbar. That's very simple. Just like the building of the structure is not Derech HaShabbos. The destruction of the structure is not Teichah Shabbos. Destruction can't be more than the building. The building of the Beis HaMikdash is not Teichah Shabbos. The destruction of the structure is not Teichah Shabbos. The Shekhinah, the Korbanos, are Teichah Shabbos. Just like the Avodas HaShekhinah is Teichah Shabbos. The Siluk HaShekhinah was Teichah Shabbos. And that's why Asar HaBetavis is Teichah Shabbos. Asar HaBetavis reflects the Siluk HaShekhinah. That's Takiyah Doicha Shabbos. And now we can understand why still a weakness to the fast too. Because since even in the Golos, you could always re-tap the Shekhinah, it's not considered a real destruction. You can still be connected to the Shekhinah. Yechziru Ator Liyeshna. Because of that, it's mutter. Because the Shekhinah could still be cashed into, even in the Golos. So for that, we show, on the one hand, we show the Tsar of Siluk HaShekhinah, which is reflected in the fact that it would be Derech HaShabbos. On the other hand, we still show that there's accessibility. And that's why we weaken it, on the other hand, on the Tzuras HaTzarim. Okay. Let's go. I'm ready.
I came to talk to him. He said, actually, Chazal were telling Yom Yisrael to keep their assets liquid. He said, Father, they couldn't. They didn't want all the guys to say this.
Should be easy to be
the same idea.
Yeah.